Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today, we have a very timely and a very appropriate conversation headed your way, courtesy of the Richland Hospital. We're going to be talking about Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, which is this month of September. And joining us, provided by the Richland Hospital, Christine Olson, program therapist with Senior Life, and Haley Salisbury, who is a program director with Senior Life Solutions. We appreciate you both coming here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Good to have you in to talk about a subject, Haley, that's not always that easy to talk about, is it?
No, it's definitely not. Sometimes it's brushed underneath the rug, it's hard to bring up, and more people being comfortable with that topic is an important thing.
Tell us about Senior Life Solutions and what that entails.
Okay, so we are an outpatient program for older adults, maybe struggling with emotions, depression, anxiety. Obviously, there's a lot of life changes that come with getting older, you know, leaving your home, losing a spouse, a loved one, etc. So we really help with the depression, anxiety side of things. We run group therapy as our primary treatment. We also do individual therapy and family therapy if indicated. So they generally come to us starting at 3 days a week, and then we work towards graduation.
Is that an age group that is vulnerable when we're talking about suicide?
Definitely.
Yeah. For what reasons do you feel, Christine?
Yeah, they're definitely one of our most at risk for suicide. Reasons being, you know, we're dealing with chronic illness, feeling hopeless. You know, when we have chronic pain every day, illness that we don't feel like we can get over, it feels a bit hopeless. Like Haley was talking about, when we're isolated, that loss of connection is really huge with suicide risk. Often there's financial issues too that a lot of people don't expect when they are in this time. We always talk about how it's you hear that golden years, and then often that's not what it looks like or what it feels like. So we deal with a lot of depression, loss.
With the chronic illness comes a lot of chronic pain as well too. That can be a big issue in older adults, mm-hmm. and really any age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, golden years are overrated sometimes, it seems.
Yeah, right? They often say that. What is this? It's not the golden years that I was told about.
These aren't the golden years. We were sold a bill of goods. Certainly, suicide is not something that's very easy to talk about.
No,
though.
No, I say this all the time as a therapist. I'm pretty comfortable with it, and a lot of people aren't, and I forget that. But it is super important that we get comfortable with it. Most of us have someone in our life. Maybe we ourselves have experienced it, but I'd say most of us know someone that is dealing with suicidal thoughts or has lost a family member due to suicide. And it's often kind of pushed under the rug and we don't talk about it. But we know that the more we talk about it, we kind of take away that taboo and that fear of it. The more we talk, the more we get comfortable. We also find that most people, once they just start talking about, hey, I just kind of don't want to wake up some days, I just feel like I'd be better off dead, once they start processing that and getting that off their chest, it makes a big difference and actually helps some of those suicidal thoughts and behaviors reduce. So talking about it is huge. It really is prevention.
I know that there are warning signs. You know, how can we be aware of those, Haley, as we look at someone we may know and love, and you know, maybe they're reaching out to us?
There might be direct signs. There might be indirect. Just kind of being aware of them and catching them. Obviously, there's some things like previous suicide attempts, feelings of hopelessness. They might have impulsive behaviors. Mm-hmm. Or they might make direct comments like, you guys don't need me around anymore.
Yeah, that isolation. Another big one that we see is getting rid of items, yes. Selling items. Trying to find a place for a pet, those kinds of things. That giving away things is not always a benign thing. It might be they're preparing. We also see if you know someone who is typically depressed, typically low mood, But then all of a sudden there's a change, right? There's a change in mood. They're actually more happy, more at peace. People think they must be feeling better. They must be working on things. They're doing better. That's actually a huge risk sign that they've made a plan and they're feeling at peace because they know that it'll be over soon. So those are some other warning signs as well we see. Family losses is a big one. A partner loss.
Tough on families, though, because sometimes, you know, you hear people say, I should have seen the signs.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's easy in hindsight to look back and say, oh, I missed that.
Right? We always say this, that if our hindsight was as good as our foresight, a lot of things would be different. There's a lot of guilt that comes with that, right? When we think, oh, I should have seen it coming. We do deal with a lot of that acceptance of realizing there's only so much we can do, right? That's why it is important to have the conversations and ask the hard questions. But at the end of the day, a lot of those that are suffering the most, again, are usually the most silent. But yeah, it's hard for families to understand that. It's hard for the community. We see that of, I didn't see this coming at all. How would we have known?
There's usually a large circle of impact. It's not always just direct families. It can really stretch out. The percentage of people impacted by suicide some way is just crazy.
Yeah, it definitely rocks the community when we have that. Yeah.
What hurts is sometimes you think like, Haley, that, oh, this person had so much going for them. They have this, all these positive things in their life, and it's so hard for them to see that, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
When we look at some other things, in terms of seeing this and maybe some warning signs, there are those I've heard that we didn't see it coming. There were really no warning signs, right?
Often we see it in our world news, right? We expect it from. And that is why Suicide Prevention Awareness Month is so important, when we start taking away that stigma and people hear also about help, right? There is help in the community. We often just don't know about it. I see it all the time as a social worker in the community, that people just don't think help exists. And it does, right? We just don't know where to start. So it is very unfortunate that those that ended up completing suicide never had that opportunity to reach out for help or know that their help was available. That point of, they had so much going for themselves. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right? We don't. Everyone has something that they're dealing with, no matter their circumstance, their economic status, those kinds of things. We're all dealing with things that sometimes people really just don't talk about.
The isolation we felt during COVID, Haley. Did you see a little bit more people reaching out at that point?
Yeah, definitely. The isolation during COVID was huge, and it still is going on, especially with certain age groups or disabled people that are unable to get out of their homes. It's really still prominent.
It's definitely had a very lingering effect. Yes, we see long-term change from COVID and the isolation and the depression that happened, physical health changes as well that happened with that isolation.
With COVID and the isolation, I feel like there's just some new norms developed as well. So that's, like you said, the lingering effect of isolation. It's still around.
Yeah, we got used to being avoidant of dealing with our fears and our stressors in life. It was easier to stay home and not go out and go to the grocery store or go meet a friend for coffee or go to the doctor in person, meet with your therapist in person, right? A lot of things evolved to meet the needs during COVID, but we haven't really bounced back from that.
Right. One of the things I noticed during that time was when everyone was wearing masks, you could not see someone smiling. You know, sometimes you need to see that that smiling face too, don't you?
Yeah. I think most of us, for a couple years, we didn't even know, and our patients didn't know what our faces looked like. And that's crazy to think about.
Right. That's behind us, and we move on, certainly. So are older Americans more suspect to suicide?
Yes, definitely, yes. Uh-huh. Elders are most at risk of suicide, along with males, really, of any age. They're more likely to harm themselves in, you know, a more lethal manner. Also, first responders, a big one, often not, you know, getting out and getting the help, and they're dealing with trauma almost on a daily basis. Veterans, another big one. Our farmers, that's a big thing for our community too, farmers. Young adults, really adolescents is another part of the population that's most at risk for suicide, but elders is definitely up there as well.
Yeah. We've talked about on this program different groups such as the Farmer Angel Network that has been a great resource, hasn't it?
Yes, it has been, yes, because our community is, I can't even begin to guess the percentage that are farmers, but most of our patients have a farmer background. And because of their circumstance, they often don't have access to appropriate health care and affordable health care. They're busy, it's stressful, their economic situation isn't always stable. So Farmers Network has been huge for
farmers
this community.
And the older adults too, the stigma is very prominent, you know, that taboo around suicide or mental health. It wasn't really mm-hmm. practiced back then, so mm-hmm. it's kind of developing a new norm that there is help out there, mm-hmm. and these things mm-hmm. happen.
Yeah, our parents and grandparents, especially our grandparents' generation, you know, we were told just to snap out of it.
Right. Just stop, right?
Come on, quit thinking sad thoughts. Think happy thoughts, and mm-hmm. you're going to be all right.
Right.
And easier said than done,
easier
obviously.
Easier said than done, definitely.
And unfortunately, you mentioned, too, and I think, unfortunately, we probably take for granted our emergency personnel, emergency responders, don't we?
Yes, we definitely do, yeah. Right. Responding to scenes that, you know, we can't even begin to imagine. And their job is stressful. And they're not always given the resources or compensated for the things that they're dealing with. So first responders is a big one. And
dealing
often
with a lot of traumatic scenes and things like that. And just ensuring that they get help. I mean, that's a lot to digest and just push back.
But there's also still that stigma in their, in their community, in their job, that, you know, it's looked at as weak to get help. And that's not just first responders, right? That's a lot of people and a lot of part of that taboo and stigma with mental health. And I often say it takes great strength. It's hard to pick up the phone, go to an appointment and say, I need help. That is where the strength comes from. Our pride often gets in the way, but the strength comes from reaching out for help. It doesn't have to be something huge. It can be the littlest things can make big changes for someone. We see it every day in our job at Senior Life, that as soon as they just start getting out of the house, all of a sudden we see big changes with their mental health.
What should we do as a loved one, a family member, or whatever, if we sense that, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to be like, oh, you know, blowing something out of proportion or whatever, but what do we do?
This is the part where people really struggle. They say, how do I bring this up? How do I get them help? One, we can't force anyone to help, but we can be that hand, right? Big thing, asking the question, have you been feeling unhappy lately? Do you ever wish you could just go to bed and not wake up?
A system that can be used is what we call QPR. We should question, persuade, and then refer them. And obviously that questioning is the first hurdle to get over. You could do it very directly, or you could do it
indirectly.
Yeah. Obviously, if you see a big risk and the indirect's not working, maybe you just got to be a little more straightforward with them.
Mm-hmm. I think people think asking, are you thinking of suicide, is uncomfortable, and no one's going to answer that. But there's so many people that just wish someone would have asked them that actually being direct, are you thinking about suicide? But we know that is a hard word and a hard question.
Mm-hmm. That questioning can provide a more relief, actually, than anything right at the moment.
Someone actually is hearing them out and validating their feelings.
Yeah.
We don't want to ever make anyone feel bad for how they feel, right? We don't want mm-hmm. to... we want to validate and say, you know, that does sound really hard, and I can see why you're feeling that way. And, working with them to find some help, persuading them to get some help, because we want them to stick around. We want them to feel better.
Well, let's say you're talking with somebody, you hang up the phone, and you just say, things just don't seem right.
Yeah.
What, I mean, where do you, can you, Health and Human Services, or what do you do?
Yes, that's a really great question, too. Sometimes we have to do that hard thing in our lives and make the call for someone. When you are concerned about someone's immediate safety, make the phone call, even if it's uncomfortable. So certainly you can always call 911, call for a welfare check if you really are concerned about someone's immediate safety. Richland County Health and Human Services has the Behavioral Health Department, and they have a crisis worker to help navigate through this kind of situation. There's also Northwest Connections that works outside of the county hours. We also have the 988 is a huge thing that the nation started. Easy number to remember, 988, but it's the suicide helpline for anyone to call at any time. But yeah, sometimes we have to pick up that phone and call and ask someone to go check on a loved one, even if we're worried that it might make them mad. At the end of the day, I think they'll be grateful that you cared enough to get them help.
Yeah, very well said. Is the Richland Hospital doing anything this particular month, Suicide Awareness Month, Haley?
Well, obviously, there's a Suicide Prevention Task Force. They do some advertisement stuff for Suicide Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. As a group with us, we are doing things out in the community, like we go do bingo at the community center and all do a little talk about our program and then offer help to anyone if needed.
Yeah, Haley does a lot of community education, especially during these months, like suicide prevention awareness, getting out in the community and just letting people know basic information about suicide, but also resources out there to help.
We have a resource table right in the entryway of the hospital as well. Different worksheets on different skills and things to notice with suicidal individuals.
Yeah.
We also give away little things for suicide prevention month.
Yeah. If you go into the hospital right now, check out that table for any material. There mm-hmm. should be some good stuff there.
This is a tough job that you two do, but I think you've turned it into a positive. You love what you do, right?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I do.
For what reasons?
Again, it doesn't take a lot to see really big positive changes in our patients. I mean, often, especially for us, elders are often the most isolated and neglected. They're retired, family maybe stops coming around, and they're just, we don't value them as much as I think we should. So we get to see that every single day. I get to be in group with them for hours each week, and it's fun. It's it can be sad. I learn a lot of things from them. They make me laugh. We all have a good time together, but we also process really difficult things that they've never been able to say since they were little out loud. And that is huge, seeing big changes in someone who's never been able to talk about it. But we see positive outcomes every single day. I mean, it's great to see within even just a couple weeks' time how someone presents, right? They come in looking happier. They have a smile on their face. Before they came in, they were tearful. They were flat. They had nothing to live for anymore, and they were desperate. Seeing those changes every single day is very, very rewarding.
You can see it on their face when they arrive.
Yeah. Afterwards. Yeah,
with
definitely.
With that older population, and a lot of those symptoms of the depression, anxiety are brushed off as just aging.
Yes.
You know, forgetfulness. Oh, well, that comes with age. Not necessarily. That can be due to an increase in depression. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. There's nothing to live for, so sadness is mm-hmm. expected. But life doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that hard. We can get help. We can find peers and relate and connect and still learn skills. I think that's the biggest thing with us is teaching skills that to maybe a 70-year-old person that, you know, our youth is starting to learn now because we're trying to get over that hill of that stigma of mental health and treating it.
Right. So much can be learned by the older generation, right?
Definitely. Yes. You can always learn. Mm-hmm. And we're all always learning.
And you mentioned group. So you have actual group situations?
Yes. We have. That is really our program is group therapy. There's two different therapists, and we provide therapy 3 days a week. Yes. In a group setting. So that can be nerve-wracking for people at first. We always say, give it a chance. Give it a try. You'll probably find out that you love it and you don't want to leave because you have connection with your peers who are dealing with the likely very similar situations as you are.
Probably a chance to make new friends.
And make new friends, because that's hard to do. For all of us, it's hard to make new friends, but especially our older folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a tough subject, but important that we have people like you in the community. Anything else that you guys would like to add this morning about the month?
Not that I think so.
I think
we hit most of our topics. Just obviously getting more knowledge out in the community of being aware of signs of suicide, just both the direct and indirect, is super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a distressing, uncomfortable topic. We can talk about it. We find relief when we talk about it.
Yep. It's important to get that out there, mm-hmm. that so-called elephant in the room. Right?
Yes, right. We feel it. Get it out there. Yeah.
Right. And again, maybe you could go over some places that if somebody's listening and, you know, maybe they're they're dealing with some tough stuff right now.
What
are some resources?
If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, or suicidal thoughts, definitely reach out to your local county services. They're always a great I always say if you don't know where to start, start with the county. They will get you the resources you need. And then, again, they have the crisis workers, too, for those that are in danger of harming themselves. There's also the 988 helpline. That's a suicide helpline. You can call it anytime, any time of day. They'll be there to support you. Obviously, again, the regular emergency services, police station, ER, those kinds of places.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thanks for coming in today, you two.
Thanks for letting us come in.
You bet. The Richland Hospital providing us our guest today, talking during Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, this month of September. Christine Olson and Haley Salisbury, our guests on the first half of the morning show. The morning show today from WRCO. We are glad to be talking about Viola Horse and Colt Show. And in the studio, we have the president, Jory Campbell, the vice president, Ashley Baker, getting together with this year's Horse and Colt Show. And then Keith Durst is here as well to talk about some of the pulling activities that will be going on over the course of the weekend. So I guess you drew the short straw. We'll talk to the vice president first. How are you, Ashley?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure. And this is a long-running event. How many years now?
We are on our 93rd annual Viola Horse and Colt Show.
Can you give us a little bit of a history and the background?
Yeah, so the name comes from the start of the show being two local gentlemen that wanted to promote horse breeding and agriculture in the community. And keep in mind, that was in 1931, so quite a number of years ago. So since the beginning, the show has been a local attraction for horse enthusiasts, as well as over the years incorporating exhibits, food, a carnival, an annual parade, music, and a truck and tractor pull.
It's a full weekend of events, mainly Friday night and Saturday then, right?
Yep. It will be September 20th and 21st.
Okay. So it's generally around the same time every year, isn't it?
Correct. It'll be the third weekend in September, and it is the weekend following the Vernon County Fair.
I know you start planning it probably after the last one is done.
Yep.
But you get great support from the community, don't you?
We do. It's a wonderful community event and very traditional, definitely.
Still have a lot of horses there?
We do, yep. We have a horse show that is starting at 10 a.m. at the Bud Wheeler Memorial Arena, and that is on Saturday the 21st. And then we also have a horse pulling contest starting at 9 a.m. on that Saturday also, and that will be at the Viola American Legion grounds.
Can you go over some of the other events?
Sure, we'd be happy to. So we do have Mr. Ed's Midway Carnival Rides, and they will be joining us on Friday the 20th and also the 21st. They offer carnival rides, games, and local food, or not local, but food vendors. And they do offer wristbands on Friday evening from 6 to 10 p.m. We also have our annual parade, which is at 1 o'clock on Saturday the 21st. And we've heard it is the best parade in the state.
Yeah, it is. It's a great one. There are a lot of units in that parade.
Yep, definitely. We also have our annual country music dance featuring Monty Berger and the Country Gold Band. And that is from 6 to 10 p.m. on Saturday the 21st at the Viola Community Building. And we also do have a arts and crafts show, merchandise show on the 21st, which is also Saturday. And that runs from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. This year, we're actually incorporating a chess tournament. So this is a brand new event to the Viola Horse and Colt Show. And the chess tournament will be held immediately following the parade. So probably around like 2:30 p.m. at the Banker Park Pavilion. And also the Kids Pedal Tractor Pull. It will be located at the Citizens First parking lot, and that is also immediately following the parade, so about 2:30 p.m. on Saturday the 21st.
Always adding new events. That's amazing. I should go broadcast that chess tournament.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be a lot of fun. You know, there are a lot of things there that probably went on back in the very first Viola Horse and Colt Show. I'm sure you've always had a parade, haven't you?
For quite a number of years, and it keeps growing and getting bigger, it seems like. So,
and if somebody is interested in being a part of the parade, is there pre-registration for that, Or Jory, do you know?
There is. Actually, if you want to contact the Viola Horse and Culture at gmail.com, we actually have a guy that does the whole lineup and gets everybody lined up and all that stuff. So
and that would be Joe Kellogg. Yep.
Okay. So talk to Joe.
Yes, talk to Joe.
Can people show up that day, though, and kind of find
a spot?
They
can. It'll be towards the end of the parade, so just keep that in mind. He does like to be prepared, so. But, yeah.
It's a fairly long parade, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it runs about an hour and a half, I would say.
Yep.
That's impressive for a town the size of Viola, you know, but they come from far and wide, don't they?
You bet, yep.
Some other things you wanted to talk about, Jordan?
We have a few other exhibits going on. We have the Boys and Girls exhibits, households. That stuff's all located at the community building on Saturday. It's available for viewing and judging from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We have the Junior Livestock exhibit that is happening at the Don Kellogg Shelter Saturday the 21st from 9 to noon. We also have the annual raffle drawing that the winner will be announced at 10 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets are available at basically every local business in the area. Otherwise, there is a ticket booth that is available in Viola near the community center that you can purchase tickets at, too.
And the ticket booth will open on Friday the 20th at 6 p.m. for purchasing of tickets.
Yes. There's also going to be numerous food vendors there. And, of course, the annual truck and tractor pull, which includes the antiques, live music, beer tent. There's some food vendors down there. And, yeah, Blue Collar 40 is going to be Friday night. Saturday is the Tradesman Band. Let's see.
Keith will talk about
the truck and tractor pull. Just a reminder that the admission is free, so it's a fun family event that doesn't cost a whole lot.
Yeah.
What's your favorite event, Jory, at the Viola Horse and Colt Show? Do you have one?
Oh, I don't know if I actually have one. They're all like part of the thing and.
Mm-hmm. I think your favorite events change over the years as you grow older too.
If you would have asked me when I was in high school, I would have said definitely the ride, but definitely not.
Yeah, as you get older, the rides don't always agree with you.
No,
Do you have early memories of the Viola Horse and Colt Show, Ashley?
Yeah, I think it's really a time for family to get together. It's really a community event, and I just remember my grandma who lived in Viola and going to her house with cousins and aunts and uncles and people coming to town and just like gathering and having food available there and just hanging out and then running downtown and jumping on the rides and going back up. So it's really, it embarks community, I should say. Yeah.
Are there some reunions that kind of are held around this weekend, Jory?
I think so. I know that the campground is usually full. That gets to be quite the gathering place for some people. I know, kind of same with Ashley. I had an uncle that lived in town that we'd all go gather at his house. We'd hang out, go ride the rides, do the truck and tractor pull, kind of wander away, come back, eat supper, whatever the case was.
Yep, and it seems like a really good time for class reunions.
Yes,
so, actually, personally, class of 99 will be having their class reunion at the truck and tractor pull beer tent on Saturday night. So, and then we do have some floats in the parade of different classes from over the years. We'll put together a float and ride down together. So it's kind of a neat way for people to come back to the area and get together and spend time together and reminisce about what they used to do hanging out. So.
That's a great idea to plan a class reunion around it because you don't have to pay for a band or a DJ or rent a place. You'd be right there.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Let's turn it over to Keith Thurst. He's been waiting the wings here today. he's a guy with a lot of pull sometimes, it seems like. So, Keith, could you talk a little bit about the weekend in Viola?
Sure. My end, I focus on the tractor pull. Friday night, our pull begins at 6 p.m., with six classes that each pull twice. Them classes are stock gas trucks, 9200 farm, 8000 farm, work stock diesel, 12000 outlaw farm, 13000 farm. With that being said, the 12,000 Outlaw Farm, we're going to bring back the top six tractors into the Saturday night show. Saturday morning, we start at 10 o'clock in the morning with Antiques. Generally runs up to parade time or just the beginning of the parade.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
More money in your pocket and support programs that address rising costs. I voted to cut taxes for the middle class. I fought to provide more health care coverage for postpartum mothers. I work to address rising child care costs by expanding available tax credits and by creating new child care slots. And I fought to improve access to mental health care and suicide prevention. Because by working together and bringing everyone to the table, we can put more money in your pockets and support programs that reduce costs, improve outcomes, and make life more affordable again. I'm Joan Balwig. I'm a bipartisan consensus builder. I'm running for state senate, and I'd be honored to earn your vote this November. Paid for by the committee to elect Joan Balwig.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News time today at 6:30 is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast for today calls for partly cloudy, very warm conditions, and a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, a low of 62. Friday, partly cloudy and still quite warm, a high of 83. It is 52 degrees.
Is large item pickup day sneaking up on you? At A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet and Court and Main, we've got your back. When you purchase new furniture from either store, we will carry your old items to the curb free of charge when we deliver your new pieces. This is the perfect time to upgrade your home and make space for something fresh. Visit us at Court and Main or A-Plus Furniture and Mattress for details. Hurry in and let us handle the heavy lifting. We are in downtown Richland Center. This offer ends October 10th. Removals are limited to our usual removal policies.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Wisconsin state funding for public universities is 43rd in the nation. Governor Tony Evers calls that nickel and diming and is proposing an $800 million increase in Universities of Wisconsin system funding as a part of his next budget. During a back-to-school stop at UW-Madison on Wednesday, the Democratic governor said he'll work with the Wisconsin legislature to pass the funding. Evers said he thinks there will be more lawmakers in the next legislative session who understand the importance of the UW system to the state's economy. Evers said the latest enrollment numbers showing a slight overall increase give him optimism about the future of the universities of Wisconsin. A new AARP Wisconsin poll finds 48% of likely voters backing Vice President Harris, 45% supporting former President Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who remains on the ballot after dropping out of the race at 2%. In a head-to-head matchup, Harris leads Trump 49% to 48%. Pollster Bob Ward said older voters who make up the majority of the electorate in Wisconsin are leaning toward Trump by a few points, and younger voters under age 50 are providing Harris with a bigger 9-point lead. Harris improved on President Biden's standing with every age group compared to AARP's July survey. In the U.S. Senate race, Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin leads Republican businessman Eric Hovde 50 to 47%. About 25 children and adults have been injured after a wagon carrying them overturned at a western Wisconsin apple orchard. Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes says the children, parents, and chaperones were on a field trip to the orchard in Lafayette when one of the two wagons being pulled by a tractor turned sideways and rolled over Wednesday morning. Hakes says the tractor was traveling at a low speed when the wagon rolled while going downhill. Three people suffered critical injuries, while injuries to five others were considered serious. Authorities did not say how many of the injured were children. The elementary school-aged children attend a school in Eau Claire. A 12-year-old boy has shot and killed a wounded black bear and was mauling his father near their hunting cabin in western Wisconsin. Ryan Bierman tells the Minnesota Star Tribune that he was pinned beneath a 200-pound Bruin on September 6th when his son fired a shot from the boy's hunting rifle. The 43-year-old Bierman suffered bites to his forehead, arm, and leg. He also needed stitches to reattach a flap of skin on his cheek that was ripped during the attack. His son, Owen, had earlier wounded the bear. The attack occurred while the pair tracked the animal near Siren, Wisconsin. Siren, about 90 miles northeast of Minneapolis. It's National Farm Safety and Health Week. Farm equipment is large and slow on the road. Heavy equipment like tractors are responsible for most farm injuries. Roadway safety is the focus this week to promote safety and health on the farm. A pre-trip inspection is important. That includes checking tire inflation, properly securing loads, and making sure you have safety equipment, including fire extinguishers and a first aid kit. A slow-moving vehicle sign helps with visibility. The Iowa County Communications Center received a report of a motorcycle versus deer accident Monday night around 7:30 on U.S. Highway 18 near Berg Road. Iowa County Sheriff's deputies, Dodgeville EMS, Dodgeville Fire Department, and the Ridgeway Marshal all assisted at the scene. The sole occupant of the motorcycle was transported to a local hospital and there was taken by MedFlight to a Madison hospital. There's a new sickle cell treatment for kids at Children's Wisconsin. The newly FDA-approved treatment is called Casgevy and works by adding a gene that makes the fetal hemoglobin, which includes the reduction of the clinical effects of sickle cell disease. Before this new gene therapy was approved, the typical treatment could include daily oral medication and a bone marrow transplant, in addition to transfusions to remove excess iron from the blood. The Children's Wisconsin program currently provides care for about 400 children living with sickle cell disease. Physicians estimate that the new treatment will include a two-month stay. The Wisconsin State Patrol began conducting special traffic enforcement patrols on Madison Beltline U.S. 1218 in April in an effort to prevent risky driving behaviors that can lead to serious injury and fatal crashes. As a result, the Wisconsin State Patrol conducted over 800 traffic stops, resulting in over 1,400 citations and warnings on the Beltline, with some stops producing multiple violations. Officers took part in special Beltline enforcement patrols over the course of 50 days, focusing on the highest traffic times, which most often coincided with the morning and afternoon commute. The posted speed limit on the Beltline is 55 miles per hour. Approximately one in four speed citations issued on the Beltline this summer were due to a driver going 80 miles per hour or more. Traffic crashes are more dangerous and can be deadly when they involve excessive speeds or other reckless behaviors. In addition, approximately 30 drivers were cited for operating while intoxicated. The Wisconsin State Patrol will maintain their presence on the Beltline and will continue to work with partner law enforcement agencies to strengthen their efforts to prevent risky driving in the area.
Hi, this is Teresa Clary with Clary Memorial Funeral Home. With today's rising inflation, now is the perfect time to pre-plan and pre-fund your funeral with coverage from Pekin Insurance through Clary Memorial Funeral Home. Your pre-funded policy, called Pathway, is guaranteed and can be used anywhere in the United States. Call today and protect against future inflation with a Pathway policy from Pekin Insurance. Contact Josh Clary at Clary Memorial Funeral Home for more information.
The forecast for the day calls for a high in the mid-80s, partly cloudy and very warm. Showers and thunderstorms likely by late tonight. A few could be heavy, a low of 62. Friday, partly cloudy and still quite warm, a high of 83. Saturday, 82, with a slight chance of showers at night. In Richland Center, after yesterday's high of 88, the midnight mark was 57. We are down from that.
It is 52 degrees.
It's grape season at Oakwood Fruit Farm. Come pick your own grapes, perfect for jellies, juice, wine, or just to enjoy fresh off the vine. While you're there, browse the selection of apples and bakery treats, and don't forget to grab some fresh apple cider. Oakwood Fruit Farm is your go-to for fall flavors and fun. They're open 9 to 5, 7 days a week, located south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and enjoy the harvest.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Did you know that 70% of the economy is you and me buying things? So a big part of building a strong economy boils down to putting money into our pockets so we can buy more things. A living wage, affordable child care, paid family leave, and affordable housing puts money in our pockets and creates an economy that can benefit everyone. When we buy things, that encourages new businesses to open and corporations to hire more workers. It makes no sense to give large tax cuts to the ultra-rich because they can't spend the money they already have. And any extra they get goes into investments, not purchases. When political leaders underfund our families and communities and instead cut taxes for the ultra-rich, they deny us the economic benefits we have a right to share in. So, it's a fair economy for everyone or tax cuts for the ultra-rich. You must make that choice when you vote in November.
Paid for by patriotic millionaires, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the schedule and details on a Brewer win they clinched on Wednesday.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of Kubota tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
Sports tonight in the area, it'll be high school volleyball, Richland Center at Lancaster, River Valley travels to Dodgeville, Platteville at Prairie du Chien. Also tonight, Viroqua is playing at Westby among the matches from southwest Wisconsin, Kickapoo at Ithaca and Weston at Lafarge Youth Initiative, Seneca at North Crawford and DeSoto at Waseca Steuben, Riverdale is home against Mineral Point, and Boscobel travels to Iowa Grand, also Cuba City at Southwestern and Fenimore at Darlington. High school soccer tonight, Richland Center is home against River Valley. For varsity time, 7 o'clock, JV at 5. We'll have coverage of the varsity match on WRCO-FM 100.9 and WRCO.com this evening. A Jake Bowers hit driving in Jackson Terrio in the bottom of the ninth gave the Brewers a 2-1 walk-off win over the Phillies last night.
Swinging and a rocket to right. Hit an absolute bullet past Harper at first. Jackson Churio scores the winner, and they're chasing Jake Bowers.
A pleasure to hear Bob Uecker on the Brewer Radio Network last night making the call of the final play. Milwaukee had already clinched the National League Central Division title earlier in the day when the Cubs lost to Oakland. Reese Hoskins had a double and his 25th home run, and Devin Williams earned his first victory in relief as well. Owner Mark Attanasio talked about everyone counting the Brewers out.
It's so hard to do this, right? And every time you do it, you think it could be the last time, you know? This year, they were experts. I use that. They were experts who predicted us to finish last. Not everybody, but a number. I'm not sure anybody predicted us to do this. You know, to be the first team to clinch in, I think, all of baseball. Not bad.
Willie Adames has had a big year.
Just the work we do. The work we do in the offseason to prepare us for the next year. That's I feel like that's the main point for an athlete. You know, if you work hard, at some point it's going to pay it off. And this year has been a great year. We still have some things to get better at, but next year we're going to, you know, work on those things and be better.
The Brewers in the playoffs have begun in a couple of weeks. Tobias Meyer starts the first game of a weekend series against the Arizona Diamondbacks this evening. Packers quarterback Jordan Love returned to practice Wednesday after missing time due to a knee injury suffered during the season opener. Love was a limited participant, throwing passes during individual work. He told reporters he's feeling a lot better and is taking it day by day. The second-year starter says he was scared by the pain when he got hurt against the Ravens. Originally, he was expected to be out for 2 to 6 weeks. Green Bay travels to Tennessee coming up this weekend. The new NFL weekend starts tonight with New England playing at the New York Jets. And that's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee. Why should you join Simon's Recreation Complex? It's not about their modern equipment or great exercise classes or even the comfy swimming pool. It's about how you can get the best out of your 50-plus body now and for the rest of your life. If you think taking part in the programs offered at Simon's Recreation Complex would be just for some people, it's time to
For the past 2 years, we've inducted three people into the Hall of Fame on Saturday evening prime time. It fluctuates between classes, but approximately 7:30, we do have three more inductees going into the Hall of Fame this year, and we stop the poll and give our inductees the time to enjoy and watch our fans enjoy it as well. One thing we need to take care of is not only for the Horse and Colt show, we have multiple sponsors for that, and we also have multiple sponsors for the truck and tractor pull. They'll be announced and listed and banners hung at the track. I don't have time enough to go through them all, and I don't want to forget anybody, but we want to thank our sponsors for supporting the Horse and Colt Show over the year and the sponsors that also support the tractor pull. A lot of them sponsor both. Last year, we started a horseshoe award, since it is the Horse and Colt Show, where we have 15 classes through the weekend that hook twice, and we make a mini points series out of it, and we've made a horseshoe award for the champion of each class. It's kind of like a ring winner that they do in Bowling Green and some of the other large pulls. We are bringing in some extra bleachers. In particular, we're expecting to bring in some additional fans due to the Pro Street Diesel Shootout on Saturday night.
That's kind of the big ticket there, isn't it, Keith? That's the one that gets the blood flowing the most, that Saturday night pull?
The Saturday night pull is definitely faster and brings in a lot more of the outside tractors. If you focus on the Friday night or even the antiques on Saturday morning, many more of them people are local, and we see that with our competitors and the fans, the different type of support that we get. But Saturday afternoon definitely is our showcase.
So has it been a good season this year?
Yeah, it's been a really good season. You know, I know our economy is questionable at times, but on the tractor pulling end, there's a lot of competition out there, and the fan base is quite strong.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. They follow from week to week sometimes, and some of these guys come from a long ways away to be in Viola on that Saturday, don't they, Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll represent multiple states. Some of the guys are definitely 500 miles away and even further. To this point, back to the Pro Street Diesel Shootout, we've had calls as far away as New York.
Is that right?
Yes.
And they're trying to find Viola on the map then, probably. Yeah,
it's on the map, but you got to look.
Yeah, you do. Get your GPS set. Sounds like a big weekend. We'll come back and talk more about Viola Horse and Colt Show when the morning show continues. Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio as we talk about the Viola Horse and Colt Show. Always a great time, and it's that time of year. Ashley, it's kind of, in some ways, it's the last hurrah of summer. I guess it'll be past summer, but then again, it's the first hurrah of fall. But it's a big event, a big celebration, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely feels like it, like the last hurrah of the year, of the season anyway. Yeah.
And it's great to get out and celebrate the fruits of the labor and the fruits of harvest and everything, isn't
yep,
it?
Yep, definitely.
Sure. A lot of young people will be showing some of their projects and things like that as well.
Yep, they? Livestock and households and boys and girls exhibits, which also includes like quite an array of different items such as photography and baked goods and quilting and sewing and artwork and things like that. So
sure, for the area 4-H'ers too, it's a way to achieve as they yep, as they show at
definitely,
the show then. You couldn't do it without your volunteers, could you?
Correct, yes.
You'd like to talk about those, Jory?
Yeah, honestly, it takes a village, literally. And everybody that's involved in the horse culture was all volunteers. We're constantly looking for volunteers because we never seem to have enough. So, I mean, if you're interested or you have some ideas, by all means, please come join us. We meet every month. There's a planning committee that meets. If you're interested, reach out to us. We're on Facebook, Viola Horse and Colt Show. You can email us at theviolahorseandcoltshow@gmail.com. Otherwise, Premium Books have all of our contact information in it as well. So.
How many committee members are there, Ashley?
Oh, goodness. We have, it kind of varies because we have the primary planning committee that meets monthly, and then we do have superintendents of that have their own committees, whereas if it's livestock, if it's households, you know, the truck and tractor pull, then they come in kind of closer to the end, closer to the show, and get feedback and help if they need it. So it's a well-oiled machine, let me tell you. So we have folks that have been on the Horse and Cultural Committee for 40-plus years that are just now starting to step down. And like Jory said, we're always looking for new volunteers, new leadership, folks that want to get involved in a really time-honored traditional event to keep it going another 93 years.
Lots of sponsors as well you'd like to thank, Jory.
There is, and I'm not going to try to name all of them because I don't have the list in front of me and I don't want to forget anybody, but honestly, we couldn't do it without our sponsors, any of them. They all mean so much to us, and yeah.
Because the premium book goes out early in the year then, and you have sponsors
yes,
for that?
Yes, the premium book goes out earlier, about early to midsummer, and then we do banner sponsorships. Those banners are hung up at the horse arena, horse pole, truck and tractor pole. Those guys sponsor us too. But yeah, we couldn't do it without any of our sponsors, so big thanks to them.
I'm curious then, when you're coming into town, is there a secret to where to park? You know,
we get asked that a lot, actually. Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, the whole town is pretty much part of the Horse and Cold Show. So, you know, the residential area, people can park. We would recommend coming before the parade, and of course participating in the events that are prior to the parade and then staying for the parade. But the parade starts at 1 o'clock and really takes over most of the main street and like some of the residential by our village office. So we start lining up the parade at noon and then the parade starts at 1. So if you're planning on driving through town, maybe come before noon or come before 12:30. And yeah, come early and stay late, definitely.
And sometimes you have marching bands there in the parade, depending on the year. So.
Yes, marching bands. It all varies. Fire trucks, ambulances, bands,
Shriners.
Yeah, it's coming this year.
Yep, we even have. Typically, the last couple of years we've had an Oktoberfest parade float of someone from the La Crosse area that actually had a connection or from Biola area and wanted to participate. So they actually enter an Oktoberfest parade float, which is really neat.
Just adds to the atmosphere, doesn't it?
It does.
Keith, we wanted to talk to you a little bit again about some of the things going on with the truck and tractor pull. And again, you have a lot of people that help behind the scenes to have this big of event, don't you?
Yeah, we have a number of people doing a number of different things, from the track prep to making the show run fluently to the sign up and the payout, and even some of our sponsors bringing in track equipment. There's a number of people that allow us to put on this show, and I want to thank each and every one of them, and without mentioning them, so I don't take the chance of missing somebody, they know who they are, and many of them have been there year after year, and we can count on them, and, you know, one person leads to another, and we're fortunate to have the people that we have that do help us with the tractor pull. One thing I didn't cover is if someone is interested in any of the classes or what the classes are or any questions in particular to the tractor pull, you're welcome to call myself at 309-826-4896 or my co-chair, John Young. His number is 608-604-1415, and even if you have questions that day, see John or myself, and we'll be able to sort things out and make it as right as possible. And one other person that I do want to mention is my head guy for the 2-6 Pro Street Diesel Shootout is Leroy Hirschberger. He's a competitor within the class and follows the class pretty much statewide. But if you have any questions, feel free to contact me, and I can get you in contact with him, or possibly even answer the question. But without Leroy's help, our main class, our big class of the year, wouldn't be possible without Leroy's help.
Is this kind of the culmination of the season, Keith? Are we getting down toward the end of the pulling season?
We're definitely getting down toward the end. There are a couple of pulls following ours, and that's just happened in the past few years. We used to be the last, and for many it is the last, and we're fortunate to have them at our pull. You know, people like our pull. They like the atmosphere. They like the track. And we're here to have some family fun and enjoy the day. But to answer your question, there are a couple following. And if you want to travel south and whatnot, you can get into October. But for our local people, this pretty much is it.
You know, it is an expensive hobby, but those that are involved in it, they love it, don't they? They travel all over to be a part of it.
Yes, for sure. I've been involved in pulling myself, and I had scheduled approximately 50 pulls to participate at this summer. Early in the year, I come up with some problems with my tractor, which limited me on the amount of events that I attended with the tractor. But with that being said, I still go tractor pulling every weekend, whether it's one pull or four or five. So it's an addictive sport, and it is costly.
I was going to say, once it gets in your blood, it's like a lot of things. So, yeah, indeed. Anything else you want to add about it, Keith?
No, not at this point.
Great. Anything else anybody would like to add? Just come on out and have some fun, right, Ashley?
Yeah, definitely. And just a reminder, general admission is free. So if you just want to come out and check it out, come on down. We're happy to have everyone.
And it starts Friday night, Troy?
Friday night, 6 o'clock. Things will kick off. Rides will open. Truck and tractor pull starts. Food vendors will be up and running. So, yep.
You mentioned Monty Burger and then a couple of other bands, too.
Yep.
You know much about the bands?
Yeah. So, Friday night, Blue Collar 40 will be in the beer tent, starting after the truck and tractor pull or shortly thereabouts. Saturday night, the tradesmen will be in the beer tent.
They have ties to the area, too, right?
Yes, so. Yes they do. And then the Monty Burger Band, that's the annual dance, takes place in the community center, like Ashley had said. But, they have quite the following, too. There will be a little bit of a small concession in there for their following crowd that doesn't want to actually partake in the fair stuff. So, yeah.
Something for everyone. No,
there is definitely something for everyone.
Well, we'll keep reading the good forecast for you, too. So
absolutely.
We'll do our part.
We appreciate that.
Good luck with Viola Horse and Colt Show.
Thank you so much.
Update at 7, sponsored by Napa Auto and Truck Parts, and the local people serving you with the good stuff, Jones Chevrolet Chevy.